Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today are folks that we've had on the show before, Savine and Michael. Welcome to the show. Savine, it's been a few months.
Kept you waiting, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we'll let the viewers figure that out what that means, but that's awesome. All right, yes, but it's glad to have you back.
Thank you for having us.
Last time you were on, we talked about kind of Azure Data Lake.
Yes.
Right, and then you were just on recently to talk about uSQL.
Yeah, when we launched it, yeah.
Yep. We had you both back today because we want to kind of get gauge and kind of figure out and let the audience know where this is going. Kind of what are we hearing? We were talking before. Kind of we spent a lot of time. We spent a lot of time on Stack Overflow to get feedback. You know, what are we hearing about Azure Data Lake? What are we be hearing about uSQL and kind of what's coming?
So maybe you should start with, like, how are we seeing people adopt it?
Yes.
We've got a lot of customers who are just trying to get on there. We have to rush to approve them to get their accounts. Hundreds of accounts now have been created.
Yep.
And people are, you know, early in their adoption cycle, they're learning the system, they're starting to get busier and busier. We're really happy about that. We're trying to encourage them to use it more. And the feedback we're getting, it's on various levels, but I would say 95% of it is the excitement and the questions of the future of uSQL.
Was the adoption, how did you see the adoption, or how did we see the adoption? Was it kind of a slow ramp up, or did people go, wow, that's awesome, and did you see just an influx?
Well, a lot of people have signed up and starting the accounts, and now they're playing now. A good number of just playing, poking around, I think, with the language, really.
Okay.
And now we have a good set, a smaller set of customers who are trying to now produce production pipelines.
So there's an exploratory, what is this, how do I use it phase,
exactly,
right?
Yeah,
and then how do I, you know, how does uSQL fit into this?
And
how do I use
a few
uSQL?
People do POCs.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll see the uptick.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so and that leads into
feedback, yes.
Feedback.
So thanks for all the feedback that we have received so far. We can always use more, obviously.
Yep.
And it's not just the language, but it's tooling around the language, et cetera, as well. And some of the biggest items that we have seen at the moment is some things that people just want to know how they are doing it, and so we are kind of giving support on that.
So yeah, because uSQL is a new language,
yes.
Right? Is it more of it? Hey, how do I do X in uSQL? Right? Is it more along those lines?
So, some of that, yes, and some of that is I did X and now it doesn't work. So can you help me? And so we are helping
on
that.
How do I fix it?
And then there's also like I would like to do X, but I can't. How do I do it?
Right.
And in that case, often we get some like good feedback around the capabilities that we are going to add in the future, like skipping the first numbers of rows inside a file because they have headers, which was planned already, but we basically had to like do some internal like architecture rework to be able to make that happen because we are extracting in parallel from those files, and so we needed to identify which one is the first part of the file, so we not just skip every 100th row because you're taking the first row out of every vertex that we're operating. So you don't want to do that, obviously. So these are some of the things that we are looking at. And we have just finished our planning cycle, and we are looking at a couple of things to add, such as I mentioned, skipping first row, the ability to output into multiple files with a data-driven naming scheme. You can do that today by just like getting some numbering scheme added. And another thing that we're looking at is adding ACLs to databases so that you have like database level authorization.
Okay. That's pretty
and
cool.
And there's other stuff as well. But,
oh yeah, so I'm sure your laundry list is fairly long. It's, you know, what's the top priority, the things they're asking for? And do you get most of your feedback off of Stack Overflow?
Well, actually we have a feedback page that you can reach on the Azure feedback page. It's ADL feedback, all one word, all lowercase.
And that's feedback all up around uSQL, ADL.
ADL, everything, yeah. And you can go and vote for your favorite ones.
Okay.
I've seen at least one flash mob voting on one topic.
yes.
So, go and get your uncle and aunt to vote as well, if you want to.
So, and how do you see these two, I mean, so, these two work very well together. Is uSQL helping drive Azure Data Lake adoption and excitement?
Yeah,
or?
I would say, you know, it's so rare for Microsoft to introduce a new language.
Yeah.
Right, and this is an exciting one.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
So I think it's a hook.
Yes.
People come in because just want to learn the language.
Yes.
Are now using the product.
Yeah.
Right.
And but it's also the other way around. I mean, it's obviously that if you have a lot of data and you have a lot of data in Azure Data Lake storage, mm-hmm. you want to be able to have a language that is good and easy to use to go there, and you don't have to like set up a whole cluster and so on. You just basically subscribe to it and you run your queries.
Well, and that was just, you know, we just sat through a webinar that Savine did, and that was kind of the whole thing is there's so much I don't have to do, right? Yeah. That just it's provisioned for me, get up and running. Now, how do I get access to? And there's, you know, I think that's the beauty of Azure is just let me get running, you know, set stuff up. And I have all these tools available for me. Yeah. And although, U-SQL just sits on top. You know, U-SQL sits on top of that.
One of the biggest feedbacks I gotten in the last 3-4 months was, when is it going to appear in SQL Server? So I'm sorry, guys. You have to talk to the guys in the SQL Server
SQL,
team.
Yeah.
I'm more than happy to help them.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was interesting because I remember during MVP Summit, you know, we were in a SQL room, right? And you were talking U-SQL. And here we are trying to open, you know, in Visual Studio .NET, and everybody's mm-hmm. like, okay, now do we have to learn .NET, right? And there's kind of this, right?
Yeah.
And I can see them asking that question, when are you going to put that in SQL? Because there was just kind of a, right? Yeah. From the SQL people going, wait a minute.
although I mean, I was much positively surprised about the reaction. I mean, most of the people reacted very positively about because they understood what we are trying to do and the value proposition that it brings to be able to have this very easy extensibility model to operate on data that you basically need to prepare for later analytics.
I think the easier way to make it for them, though, right? If I know .NET, no problem, right? But you know, for the SQL that, like, you know, someone asked, do you have to know .NET? And some guy writes fires up Visual Studio and does, you know, hello world. He goes, see, I know .NET. And I'm like, that's not what he meant, asking if you know .NET, right? So I think there's, you know, the easier we can make it for them.
Yeah, of course, right?
So.
And speaking of easier, one of the things to make it easier is that up until recently, you had to submit all your jobs to the cluster to basically, even when you were developing. But just last December, we released.
You had to pay. For that.
Exactly. Well, if your job failed, you didn't have to pay. But if it succeeded, yes.
Yeah.
So now we have a local development mode in the Visual Studio tooling and even a local debug mode.
Yeah, and is this something you and I sat down one time and looked at?
Yes, yes.
Okay, this is awesome. I love this. All right.
And so for those who, I should sort of set this up, that, you know, the language is great. Thank you, Michael. But this the developers that I've talked to internally, because you know we have our own internal version of this, they can't live without the feature I'm about to show.
Yeah.
It would drive them crazy to always have to submit jobs.
Yeah.
There's a latency, there's a cost, and it's hard to train people. Because you know, it's something to say, oh, you have to have an Azure subscription just to learn a language.
Yes.
You know, we want to reduce that bar, right?
Yeah.
And it's a grid for training, and I would highly recommend, if you're interested in U-SQL, you don't have to create an account. Try this.
Just download it. It's free. Add it. You need Visual Studio Community Edition, which is free. The Azure extension.
Yep. Free.
Free. And then the ADL tooling. Free.
Free.
And you can write your U-SQL.
By the way, did we mention it was free?
It's free. Okay, so I'm going to show you. Let me bring up Visual Studio 2015.
And he's showing you the free tool.
The free tool. And now you see some stuff. Let me just show you what I did. This is actually, I just created a U-SQL project. I just file a new project. Oops. I can't even do that correctly these days. And then I did U-SQL project here. That's it. This is how you even do a normal job.
Now, this comes with, you said, to get that template.
Yeah.
It comes with the
ADL tool for Visual Studio. You can download it from aka.ms/ADL2VS.
Okay.
Because apparently we expect at some point to have a tool that might not be just for Visual Studio.
Okay.
And then you can download it. It works with Community Edition, as we already said, 2012, 2013, and 2015.
Okay. Is this in preview?
Yeah, it's also part of the preview, like us. At the moment, you also have to, like, before you install it, you have to get at least version 2.71 of the Azure tooling.
Yep.
But eventually, I think that will all be kind of merged together.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so I create a new project. Now, the script is not complicated, because that's not what I'm trying to show, right? I'm going to do a simple script and just teach you what's going on here. So I wrote a script. This is it right here. And all it does is it reads some data from searchlog.tsv, and it outputs to searchlog output.
Okay.
So where is it reading and writing, since we're not attached to any account? Let me just prove that to you. If I go to Data Lake Options and Settings, there's a default folder. This will be changed later. It says C local run data root.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if I look in that path, which is right here.
Actually, I think the latest version already puts it underneath your app info.
Okay, great. But there is a folder somewhere where all these things are.
Okay.
So this is like the root of my fake ADL store.
Okay.
Right? That's how to interpret this.
Yep.
And I have my data file right there. Okay.
Perfect. Yeah.
That's the only setup I had to do for this. So this thing reads in there, writes it out, and it does a little bit of transformation here.
Okay.
Right? And the transformation is, of course, a C-sharp function. And where is that C-sharp function? Well, if I expand the .usql, it's right here.
It's in the code behind file.
In the code behind file. Let me comment this line out, because it's going to deliberately throw an exception, which I'll show later. Okay, and I'll save it all. And how do I run this usql script? Just like you'd expect, click the green arrow. So what's happening is, something's odd there, it's happening. Oh, it's building, actually. That's an old run.
Yeah. Okay.
What's happening? This usql script is being compiled. And compiled here means, I want to explain a little bit more about what's actually happening.
Okay.
This is being transformed into C++ code.
Really? Okay.
That's kind of surprising, right? Because I wrote C#. So it's actually unmanaged code is mostly what's going on here. The C# code behind is, of course, being compiled in a .NET assembly, and they're using managed code interop to do this.
Okay.
Why this complicated scheme? Because that native C++ code is really fast.
Yeah. So you're much faster than doing it natively in C#.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It was like when we first introduced this technique, we got an immediate 20% increase in performance.
Wow.
As opposed to compiling to what they used to do, which is just a big blob of C#.
Right. Okay.
So it's worth it to do it. So it generated an exe. It actually ran the C++ compiler, generated an exe and ran it.
Okay.
You just saw it run.
And actually, that exe will be run on basically every node based on the
in
nodes.
In the cluster.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same exact thing that's sent
normally. Now on local run, of course, it will be run on your local machine.
So what it ran, it says local run succeeded down here. Now what you'll see in the future is you'll see a job graph here.
Right. Okay. Right,
so it looked more like what we normally have.
Yeah.
But it does show the outputs here.
Yeah. Cool.
So I'll go ahead and just right click and preview this. And you can see the output, you can see the column added, which is empty.
Yep.
All fine, works good. Use this if you want to learn the samples we have in our hands-on labs, et cetera. Saves you a lot of time as well, not just money.
Okay.
Now, the part that I'm excited about, which is what happens if your code here had a problem, right? So you want to debug something. I'll just make it have a problem by throwing an argument exception.
Yep.
And of course, I'll do this.
Recompile.
And again, it's going to transform to C++, compile it. And all this time you're seeing the waiting here is just that compilation phase.
Yep. But you don't have to do this one time once you deploy.
Correct.
And so actually what it does is, like in the normal cluster execution, it actually registers the assembly for short time inside a local metadata store. Yeah. And then unregisters it at the end of the script.
So look what happened, just as expected.
Yep.
Oh,
about.
There's the exception, I can hit break, and I'm right where I think I should be, where the exception was thrown.
Okay.
So I think it's really cool, right? We have a new language, integrates C#, and it works just like you'd expect.
Yes.
So for developers, I can say, can I put a breakpoint there and go do my debugging? So which is awesome, because now I can do debugging and...
And that's for local debug.
Right.
A few features that we are planning on adding, we already talked about the job graph. So if you're like submitting to the cluster, you see like the nice job graph and you can drill in and look at how it actually executes. Another thing that we are planning on adding is that you can actually also debug cluster node failures. Like at this point, you're debugging local run.
Local run,
So when you're developing, you can see whether your code does what it should be. But if you get ever a failure in the cluster, you will be able in the future to actually debug that as well.
So this is really fascinating how this works. So you know, the job is decomposed into thousands of vertexes, right?
Yeah.
So it's a chunk of work. So one of those chunks fails. And you'll see that in the output, right?
Yeah.
And you can essentially, I'm making this up, right-click debug that one chunk. That chunk's code.
Yeah.
The source code, everything is downloaded to your machine, and the input that one chunk was sent was also downloaded.
Right.
So what you do is you actually have this small piece of the total job, and you can debug it.
Right there locally.
Right there locally, and then, oh, now you fixed the problem, exception got thrown or something.
Okay.
Right, so it's really cool, because it's like, it's giving you a slice of what actually happened
in
the cloud, locally.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you operate over terabytes of data and have a 20,000 node graph, you still only can debug a single node, you don't have to get the whole data.
At that point, you're 20,000 nodes, you're like, oh, you know, this job failed, where did it fail, right?
Yeah.
Debugging something like that is a pain, right?
Yeah.
This is, that's awesome, because now I can just get that one slice, like you say, and say, all right, Can I, at that point, push that back to be processed once I fix it, or does it, do I have to?
You have to resubmit the full job. You can't resubmit just the
chunk.
Just the little chunk, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
Well, that is a thing we've talked about, though.
Yes, yeah, because theoretically, every one of those nodes has to be repeatable and rerunnable.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because of our failure tolerance, but at the moment, that's probably a little bit more work.
Well, as long as we can see, hey, you know, it's roadmap type, you know, future stuff, that's awesome. You know, at this point, you know, if I've got, you know, 20,000 nodes to process this, it's okay.
Yeah.
We're good. But that's, I love the ability to go, hey, let me break and just download that one chunk, right? Because we talked, like you and I talked about before, how do I, you know, it's all about insights and debugging and troubleshooting and making it easy for us to, you know, deal with this mass amounts of data quite, you know, easily. Yeah. All right. What else? Is there anything else? Or to recover everything we wanted to cover, because this is quite exciting.
It's an update, and we talked about some new secret features.
Yes.
Across the board, though, both in store, analytics, management, PowerShell,
everything
SDKs,
has updates planned.
There's a lot of stuff coming.
Yeah.
Right, so later on this year, you'll be very excited about what we have to offer.
And sitting in these meetings, So I think, so stay tuned for the next, I guess this calendar year, or even for the next 6-9 months, I think.
I think the next 3 months, obviously, we'll have some things that we'll blog or come to you and demo.
Oh, we'll definitely have you back.
Definitely.
Definitely have you back. Anyway, gentlemen, thanks for coming. This is fantastic.
Thanks for having us.
And we'll put some of these URLs in the show description so they can get some insight and feedback on that.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming, gentlemen. Everybody, thanks for watching.
Yes. And thanks for using it. And
and continue using it and continue providing feedback, right? All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.